Our reading this morning comes from the book of Genesis, 22nd chapter, verses 1 through 14. After these events, God tested Abraham and said to him, "Abraham." Abraham answered, "I am here." God said, "Take your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah. Offer him up as an entirely burnt offering there on one of the mountains that I will show you." Abraham got up early in the morning, harnessed his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, together with his son Isaac. He split the wood for the entirely burnt offering, set out, and went to the place God had described to him. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place at a distance. Abraham said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey. The boy and I will walk up there, worship, and then come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the entirely burnt offering and laid it on his son Isaac. He took the fire and the knife in his hand, and the two of them walked on together. Isaac said to his father, "My father." Abraham said, "I'm here, my son." Isaac said, "Here is the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the entirely burnt offering?" Abraham said, "The lamb for the entirely burnt offering, God will see to it, my son." The two of them walked on together. They arrived at the place God had described to him. Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He tied up his son Isaac and laid him on the top of the altar, on top of the wood. Then Abraham stretched out his hand, took the knife to kill his son as a sacrifice. But the Lord's messenger called out to Abraham from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." Abraham said, "I'm here." The messenger said, "Don't stretch out your hand against the young man, and don't do anything to him. I know now that you revere God and didn't hold back your son, your only son, from me." Abraham looked up and saw a single ram caught by its horns in the dense underbrush. Abraham went over, took the ram, and offered it as an entirely burnt offering instead of his son. Abraham named that place, "The Lord Sees." This is the reason people today say, "On this mountain, the Lord is seen." The word of God for the people of God.
We are a people of campfires. Even during the season of Pentecost, as we celebrate the fire of the Holy Spirit coming down and re-energizing and enlivening and commissioning and empowering the disciples to go out and start spreading the word and the story, we are people that gather around fires and tell stories. Even from the first stories of human civilization, from the Greeks and the Europeans, as they gathered around different stories, fires to hear stories of the Odyssey and the Iliad, of Troy, Homer would tell them by word of mouth. And it said in the 1960s, as the astronauts began moving deeper and deeper into space, that they would move across and they would see the continent of Africa underneath them. And it seemed that almost the entire continent was ablaze with fires from the different villages all across. We are people that gather, that tell stories. And what we heard this morning is one of the oldest stories that we tell of our faith and of our people. Now, I had a unique experience with campfires when I was growing up. I was in the Boy Scouts and the Cub Scouts when I was younger. I went all the way up from Tiger Cub all the way up to Eagle Scout. And there was this tradition that started with one of the earlier packs that I was with, that every time we had a camp out, that one of the leaders would go up to the main campfire that we had at camp that week. And after it was put out, they would gather some of the ashes and keep them in a jar. And we had this little notebook that went with us, and we would put down sort of what date it was and where we were and maybe a couple things that had happened from that campfire. And then when we went to the next camp out, we made a new campfire. Part of our rituals is we would add the old ashes from the fires that had come before. And after that fire was out, we would gather those ashes, and we would repeat it. Camp after camp, fire after fire, year after year. And what developed was an incredible history of us as boys turning into leaders and turning into young men, experiences that we might have forgotten. But the one thing that was consistent through that entire time was gathering around the fires and remembering how far we had come. The story that you heard read today is one of the more unique stories that we've heard in our faith. It's one where we're sort of pushed to our limits. It sort of meets us in a very strange and a very difficult place. And you can imagine the early believers, the early people of God, that as the Hebrews would gather around fires, you imagine that they would tell each other this story in sort of awed expectation of the amount of faith, the amount of discipline, the amount of trust that would it take for Abraham, the father of their faith, in beginning his first steps of trust and relationship with God. And it's an incredible story. And you imagine that you hear it told, that there once was a man who had an experience with God, and he was trying to do the very best he could. And one day he heard the voice of his God calling out to him to do something. Something so incredible and something so outrageous that maybe nobody in this room, including myself, would even think about doing it. That this would be a request so far out of the normal, I would question whether I was even following the right God after all. And yet Abraham did something different than what I would do. He listened to God. And he trusted him. And something even crazier than that happened. It all turned out okay. You see, if this story was about me, it would have ended at about verse 4. But it's about Abraham, and it went all the way to verse 14. Because it's a story how God sees purpose and possibilities and limits far beyond anything that I ever see on my own. And this man in whom God talked to, he laid down the thing that he loved the most and expressed to God that he was willing to give it all up. And yet God spoke out in a way that is so incredible and so intimate. We gloss over it in the drama of the story, but he calls out to the man by name. He knows him by name. He knows his limits. He knows his intent. He knows his purpose. He knows what he's trying to do. And he speaks to him out of grace. And out of the one thing that the man was willing to give up, God almost tells him to hold it even more dear that night. And he provides a different kind of sacrifice. He provides a different kind of offering. And so the man takes his son, and they take the wood that they brought, and they build a campfire. And upon that campfire, I like to think as they were preparing that offering, that sacrifice, or that meal, that they talked about what happened. And they talked about what may be to come. And that was the first fire that was lit in which they told this story. But I imagine that it was told time and time and time again, to where thousands and thousands and thousands of years later, we're still telling the story of what happened on a mountainside with a campfire when a man trusted God. What's so incredible about this story to me is the weight and the drama that comes with it. It's so incredible in its intensity. It's so incredible in its offering of what God asked the man to do, that we tend to miss the grace. We tend to miss the movement of what God is truly saying. And if we begin to read through the lines this week, we can see that here's a story about God who asks us what our limits are. Who asks us, what are those things in life that we love more than anything else? And then God tells us that he loves us more than even that. So here's a story about sacrifice of a parent and a child that I would never do. They will never write a story about Arthur taking his children on a mountaintop and being tested by God. But as I think about the things that I love the most, am I willing to trust God with them? Am I willing to listen to God? To ask the purpose of how he plans to use me and even the things that I love? That is a story I'll take home. And that is a story that I can gather around with my kids and with my family. And we can share, and we can tell, and we can talk about from time to time to time. And so when we get caught up in this story, we focus the most on the sacrifice. We focus most on how jarring it is, on how intense it is. And we ask ourselves, would we have been able to do the same? But I'm not sure that's the point of the story today. The point for me is the fact that we don't have to. Because in the realm of sacrifice, in the realm of faithfulness to where we fall short, God's already given it. And God has already been there. And where I look at Abraham and I am confused and perplexed and so far out of my comfort zone, I can't even relate to what he was thinking at that moment. God says, I don't have to, because he has already been there. And he has shown me that the limits that I have on my own life are artificial ones that I have already put there myself. And the limits that God has for me and his love and his grace know no boundaries whatsoever. That we indeed have been set free. Not only set free from sin, but set free from the limits and the chains, and the doubts, and the skepticism, and the fear that we place on ourselves. Because at no point in this story was God not right there with them. At the base of the mountain, and then on top of it next to that campfire, God was watching and speaking and walking with them. And I think as we gather here in worship today, as we look around this room, the fact that we are here is living proof that we are a sacrifice that didn't need to be offered. And instead of us, giving up our own lives in the cost of everything that we have done wrong and stupid and immature in this life. Instead, God gave up his and laid down something of inestimable worth. His very own son and his life for us. And deep inside, each and every one of us is a spark and a fire that burns. A spark of creation that God nurtured from the very first strike, held cupped in his hands, blew gently to feed the flame and the life that burst forth, and called us good. And even when we were at our very worst, even when we were at the time when we had the life and the Son of God with us, and we turned our back and we gave him up and we tried to kill the life of God, he came back for us. And before he left to go prepare a place, he said that a fire would come down for us. A Holy Spirit that would never leave us, that would never burn at a point that we would feel that it has gone out. And it's inside each and every one of you. You can see it in the spark that's in your eye. You can feel it in your belly when you know that we're doing wrong or we're not living up to that purpose. And we feed this fire by sharing it with others, by telling it and combining it. And so that 12 disciples that are locked in an upper room that are scared and terrified, God can spark a flame of purpose and power in their life, that those 12 people begin to tell a story that has spread to billions throughout history. That every person here in this room is a product of a story that has continued to be told and continue to be spread in the life and the love of God. We tell another story as people of faith. We tell that story of that last night that Jesus was with his disciples. And in a lot of ways, that meal was like any other meal that they shared. The bread was no different. The cup was no different. And yet that one meal turned into something incredible because the life of God was in it. And that meal has been shared day after day, month after month, year after year, century after century down the line, and ties us into a story that is still continuing to burn and to feed and to spread. The very life of God from the moment of creation through the life and ministry, sacrifice and resurrection of Jesus Christ, to the fire of the Holy Spirit that still burns in each and every one of us. The story of God's communion, of God's life with us.